Well, today is the 14th part on our series on Jezebel. I think this may be the final part. I'm not sure yet. I'll know by the end of the service. I want to start over in Luke chapter 15. We have covered so much about Jezebel. Not going to go back and do very much review at all. Because one of the things we want to talk about today is when there's a Jezebel in the pulpit, you know, what do you do? When the leadership is under the influence of a Jezebel spirit, what do you do? How do you handle that? Well, one thing you need to know is that you're not going to change it from the bottom up. And I can't tell you how many times I've encountered Christians who are trying to change their church from their position in that church, whatever that means. You know, it could be they're just a Sunday school teacher. Or maybe they're not involved in doing anything, but they just understand the difference between truth and false doctrine. And they think they're going to make a change in that church. Well, it's not going to happen. The only way that's going to happen is if the pastor, the leadership, lends their heart over to Jesus for whatever the Lord wants to do. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus is giving a parable. Pick it up in verse 11. He said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I will perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and bring a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Here's one of the things that the Lord showed me, and that is that a Jezebel person, without exception, is at some level of being a prodigal. Because it is absolutely impossible to be fully serving Jesus and also be under the influence of a Jezebel spirit. It can't happen. Now remember, we're talking about within the structure and the framework of a church, a Jezebel person, and it doesn't matter if it's the pastor or people in the church, they are always going to know what to say. Always. They're always going to have scripture. They're always going to have the things of God. Always. Because that's the only way to manipulate. We already saw how the devil tried that with Jesus when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. And he looked at Jesus and he says, you know, is it not written? He quotes from Psalms. Well, he misquoted. And he misused Scripture to try to manipulate Jesus. Well, a Jezebel is always, always, a Jezebel person is always at some degree of being a prodigal. And if you'll notice here in verse 17, speaking of that son, it said, when he came to himself, how many hired servants and so forth, and he began to realize his error. until a Jezebel person comes to themselves, there is no need to chase after them. Look at what happened here in the story. The father divided the blessings, the living, the inheritance, to the sons. And the one son took what God had given him, took what the father had given him, and left and squandered it. You understand what I'm saying? A Jezebel person will take what God has given them and they will squander it. Now, I'm not speaking in terms of financial blessings like what we see represented here. I'm talking about everything about God in their life. They take it for granted. And I'm not going to go way off on a tangent on this. But you'll notice that the father never went after the prodigal son. Never. But yet when the prodigal son came to his senses and he came home, the father was all about restoration, was he not? Likewise, when you have a person who's being influenced by a Jezebel spirit, and remember, I've already shared that that Jezebel person can be a regular attender in the church. So this whole concept of being a prodigal does not mean necessarily they have completely left the church. But what they have done is they've stepped outside the family, if you will. And from a spiritual perspective, they've left, even though they're still here in the church, wherever this would apply, they've left. And until they come to their senses, look, and we've already covered this in some to some extent, you can go to them and you can try to help them see it, and it doesn't matter what you say. The bottom line is, they have been blinded by the influence of the Spirit. And there's almost nothing you can do other than pray. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. And so it's important to understand that until this person comes to their senses, in other words, the light goes off, if you will, and they realize that they have been making some mistakes. Now, for us, we have a responsibility to be like that father. When the Jezebel person comes to their senses, the father is all about restoration. Therefore, we are supposed to be all about restoration. Now, what this story doesn't say, and I assume it happened because of the family relationship, that chapter 15 and a half, the father and the son who had come home had a lot of talks. I'm sure the father and the son, that boy came home. If you'll notice in here, in verse 18, he said, "I'll go to my father, and I've sinned before against heaven and before you. I'm no worthy to be your son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." But when he shows up and he sees the father, he says, "I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." But before he could even get that next part out, "make me a servant," the father interrupts and says, "Stop right there, boy. Bring the robe, bring the ring, kill the fatted calf. The boy's home. We're going to celebrate. So the father was all about the restoration. We have to be too. All about the restoration. The father never approved of what the prodigal son did, but when the prodigal son came to his senses, it was almost like he had never done it. I mean, he knew he did it, but he welcomed him back. And that's the way it has to be for us in the body of Christ. You say, well, what if they continue later on, they do it again? Okay, here's a message to all of the believers who have ever been influenced by a prodigal spirit, and you have been that prodigal person and you've gotten restored. Hear me now. Do not tune me out. Whatever worked on you the first time is exactly what that Jezebel spirit is going to try to use again the next time. You say there's going to be a next time? Guaranteed. Write it down. Hey, even Satan, when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus said, "Take a hike, buddy." That's my version. It said the devil left him until another season, another opportunity. So he came back later. We know that. The Bible says Jesus was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So we know the devil came back. Likewise, that Jezebel spirit is going to come back to find out, let's just see how strong you are. Let's just see how recovered you are. Let's just see how much you have gone back to the Father. And so that temptation is going to be there. And that's why that you can see some people who have been under the influence of a Jezebel spirit go through these Jezebel cycles. And at times there'll be a genuine repentance. A genuine, you know, I'm sorry, I was wrong about this. And they mean it. I mean, they mean it from the bottom of their heart. But what they haven't had somebody come along and warn them, this devil is coming back. You know, give it 6 months, give it a year, give it 3 months. But I'm telling you, this lying spirit is coming back to try to mess things up again. This is why you have to guard yourself. And we are going to be talking about that guarding yourself along with all of this. Look in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. So this whole thing about the Jezebel person being a prodigal, that includes the Jezebel person who also happens to be behind the pulpit. The pastor, or whatever the term is the church uses. In Revelation chapter 2, just look here at verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, real briefly, where it says there about the things sacrificed unto idols, that was a term that was used more than once in the New Testament. And I'm not going to go way off and teach on it, but I want you to understand what he's talking about here. Way back in those days, they had the sacrifices to the other gods. And one of the points of contention had to do with, well, can you eat food that's sacrificed to these other gods? One of the things that took place with the eating of that food was typically a ceremony in honor of that god. And there were times where, think of it like this, you know, you couldn't make it to the festival of, you know, the god Dagon or, you know, whatever. And so they sacrificed and so on and so forth. And part of the whole ceremony of sacrificing to that other god was eating the meal associated with the sacrifice. Well, if you couldn't make it to the actual ceremony, then you could buy the meat of the sacrifice, take it home, cook it, eat it, and celebrate it your own way. You know what I'm saying? Variation on the theme, you know, kind of way out tangent variation, would be celebrating communion at home as opposed to in the church. You know, just a variation on that theme. Well, one of the things that was going on, you had Christians who were buying meat that came from the sacrifice unto an idol. And it was guilt by association, is really what it came down to. And so there was an instruction, and you can see this in other places in the New Testament. You know, don't eat the meat sacrificed unto idols. The reason for that was because of the message it was sending. But I'm not worshiping that God. Doesn't matter. It's the message it's sending. You understand what I'm saying? The teaching here was, it doesn't matter. It's just meat. Go on down to where they're having that festival. Because the festival sacrifice meat is going to be cheaper than if you go to buy the regular meat at the meat market. So go on down and do that. Well, here you have Christians going down to the festival of Dagon or, you know, Diana or whatever, buying the sacrificial meat. You see what I'm saying? The imagery here? Now, I could preach maybe not a month of sermons, but I could definitely go on a tangent and teach on that one relative to the imagery today of what Christians do. That's not for today. So what was happening is Jezebel, this spirit now, and to understand the whole of this passage, you know, we've talked on it before, I won't go back and reteach it. This spirit was influencing people to teach that it's okay to go down here and do this. And in essence, you know, yeah, you're participating in the festival, but no, you're not really participating. It's just meat. It doesn't matter. It's okay to involve yourself and to associate yourself with other God worship
as long as you get a good meal out of it. Now, that's kind of what's going on. I'll give you, for the sake of time, I won't. And it says here that, you see these two terms in verse 20, prophetess and teach. See that? Prophetess and teach. We've discussed in this series how that one of the ways Jezebel people manipulate is through this whole thing of prophecy. The Lord has given me a word for you. We've already talked about that in this series. And the whole thing of teaching, presenting wrong doctrine and so forth, twisting the word of God. These are the two key ways that a Jezebel person in the pulpit will manipulate people. Let me see here. Yes, the Lord has shown me some of blah, blah, etc., etc. The thing is, that person could be operating by familiar spirits, and what they say, there can be truth to it. How did he know that? Why? He must be of God. Well, familiar spirits know things about you too. I mean, you need to understand that. But the one thing a familiar spirit can never do is read your mind and know what is going on in your heart. That can never happen. Ever. Now, this is one of the reasons why it's very important for us to continue to guard ourselves against these things. Because the more that we become spiritually attuned to the voice of God is going to let us know ahead of time if what we are encountering and hearing is the Holy Spirit or a lying spirit. And so, a Jezebel in the pulpit is going to manipulate people through teaching and through this whole thing of prophesying. The teaching, and we've talked about that a little bit, will be a mixture of that which is true and that which is false to gain the confidence of the people. And remember, the ultimate goal in all of this is the destruction of the believer. But it is to divide and conquer, it is to create division and so on and so forth for the purpose of controlling the lives of people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it talks about how that we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, or against the spirit things, or against the things that you cannot see. You understand what I'm saying? We battle not against flesh, but against the things of the spirit. When it comes to dealing with a Jezebel person who's in the pulpit, you need to understand the battle is spiritual more than it is personal, natural. Many times people lose track of this, or they lose sight of this. And there can be confrontation over it. And that's exactly what this Jezebel spirit wants. You know, if I can't beat you, I'll let you guys defeat yourself. Beat yourselves. If I can motivate division in the camp. If I can get the rest of the people who think they're catching on to what I'm doing, if I can get them to think that it's the person and not me, then they will direct their venom at that person and I still accomplish my goal. So the Jezebel spirit doesn't care how it works. They just want to do it. And so the battle is a spiritual battle. You say, well, you know, what are we supposed to do? Well, you can sit down with the leadership, the pastor, or however many are involved with it. You can sit down with them and you can say, look, the Lord has shown me that you're under the influence of a Jezebel spirit. How do you think that's going to go over?
Let me get this straight. I preach the Word of God every Sunday and you just sit there. And you think you know and you think...
So, yeah, I mean, you can go to them and you can say that. But I think you and I both know what's going to happen and what the response is going to be. You say, well, then what are we supposed to do? See, our concern is supposed to be for that person because they're under the influence of a demonic spirit. Our concern is to be for their restoration. And our concern is to be for those who are being influenced by that spirit that's operating through them. So what are we supposed to do? Well, look over in Ephesians chapter 5. And this is an example of what to do. Because the bottom line is prayer is the only thing. One-on-one confrontation, there may be a time for that. I'm not saying you don't do it. But what I'm saying is you better move and operate by the wisdom of God on how to approach this. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to see here what Paul has written. I said chapter 5. I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's Ephesians chapter 1. Well, you were listening. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus
and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That is what you should be praying for the person in leadership who is being influenced by a Jezebel spirit. That the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. That they would understand the fullness of who Christ is. That they would understand this demonic activity that's going on. That they would understand their position in Christ. You pray this prayer. Just make it a confession. Turn it into a prayer. You know, Father, I lift up Pastor Jones and I prayed, you know, the eyes of his understanding would be enlightened. He would understand the hope that is in Christ. He would come to the revelation of the influence that is taking place in his life. And then, not only that, but you take authority over these lying devils. In the name of Jesus, you Jezebel spirit, I take authority over you. I command you in the name of Jesus to leave Pastor Jones alone. I take authority over all you lying devils. I command you to silence your lips. You start doing intercession like that. Crazy thing is, there are a lot of Christians, they just don't think they can do this. But it says right here that Jesus is over every name that is named, and the principalities and the powers and the minds and dominions and so on and so forth, that everything's under his feet, and that he's the head and we're the body. So therefore, everything's under our feet. So why should I not think that I can exercise authority like that? Yes, but, you know, don't we have to be there and lay hands on them? No. No. You don't have to. But start interceding for them. You say, well, bless God, why should I do that? I'd rather just pack up and leave. All right, well, let's address that. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 16. And I want you to see this, what God has said. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Well, that would include the Jezebel person who's in the pulpit. You say, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to pray for the person, or am I supposed to avoid the person? Here's what you do. You pray and you get the wisdom of God as to how soon you are to step into Romans 16, verse 17. Avoid the person. Translation, leave the church. Pack up and leave. Get out. You say, that's pretty strong. I believe God sent me to that church. Well, he may have. But I'll guarantee you this, he is sure not going to send you to bow the knee to a Jezebel spirit. Now, everything may have started out okay. And God will send people to a church. He will send people to a church to be a support to that church, help the pastor, the whole nine yards. And if that pastor gets goofy and gives in to the influence of a Jezebel spirit, there will be a season. We've talked about this, a season of repentance, a time to repent before God and make it right. And then God will begin to judge that. God will start speaking to people to leave. Problem is, a bunch of them aren't going to listen. They'll just stay there. But the ones who listen and the ones who hear God, they'll understand when it's time to leave. And you say, well, why would God send somebody to a church and then only to have them leave? He sent them there to be a helpmeet, so to speak. And if the pastor messes up, then when the day comes that pastor standing before God in judgment, he will answer for what he has done to those people in that congregation. He will answer for giving in to the influence of the Jezebel spirit. And you'll notice this. In verse 17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you have learned, and avoid them. Now you need to understand, this is a tough thing. You know what mark them means? It means identify them. Okay, now here, example. Well, Barry, I'll tell you what. I'm firmly convinced. I mean, I've been praying. You know, here's what we've been seeing in church.
And I'm telling you right now, Pastor Jim is under the influence of a Jezebel spirit. I mean, look at all these things. You say, well, that sounds like gossip. Now, wait a minute. There are two ways to go about this. Gossip is when you just flap your jaws to anybody that comes along. If I'm sitting down with somebody who's mature in the Lord, who's not going to turn around and get on the phone and burn up the phone wires calling everybody, use up all their minutes, calling people to let them know. You understand there's a difference? Sad thing is, I even have to explain that. I mean, common sense should tell you there's a difference. You mark them. You identify them. The church today is deathly afraid of identifying those who are messing up. Deathly afraid.
Well, what if they sue me?
Fine, get in the court. And when you're in court, you talk to the attorney ahead of time. The attorney on your side, give him a list of questions to ask. So you ask these questions. You demand they ask these questions. And then when the questions are asked, it's going to open the door for you to pull out the Word of God, because after all, this is all going to be based upon what Scripture says, not your opinion. So you get the Bible introduced as evidence, and once the Bible is introduced as evidence, cut loose, man. Anyway, let's move on here. He says, I beseech you to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you have learned. Now, somebody could take that and stand up and say, yes, I've been teaching you people week after week, and if anybody disagrees, then they're contrary to the doctrine that you have learned, and blah, blah, etc. That is not what this is talking about. Notice this is at the end of the book of Romans. It's halfway through the end of the last chapter of the book of Romans. See this? So let me put it like this. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to everything I have taught you from chapter 1 through 16 and a half. Everything that I've laid out before you. And everything he taught the Romans, he would have taught the Corinthians and the Galatians and the Ephesians and so on. He speaks of that in other places. In other words, what he's saying is, look, all this stuff that I've taught you up to now, if you've got somebody who stands up and says, you know, the things that I've taught you that are recorded back there in chapter 8 are not right or not for today, he says, mark them. Mark them. Because they're causing division. And what's one of the things that a Jezebel spirit does? Causes division. Now, if I'm coming against truth, then I'm coming against truth with something that is not truth. But I will make it sound like truth. Why? To manipulate you. So there is a Jezebel influence we see kind of referred to here relative to this series. We'll point it out from that perspective. And so he says, avoid them. And here's what you do. When this is going on in the church, yes, you pray for the leadership. You intercede and you get involved in the spiritual warfare against these lying devils. But at the same time, you go before God and you just tell Him how you feel. And if you don't want to be there anymore, you tell Him you don't want to be there anymore. But you tell Him, I stay till you say go. And if He says, why didn't you leave last week? You pack your bags and run. You leave.
Well, what if the pastor calls me and asks me why I'm not coming back to church?
You just tell him. Be prepared for a screaming, yelling, ear-piercing, you know, fuss at you, phone slammed down, and be prepared for people to trash you. They will tear you apart. Of course, they did the Apostle Paul, and he makes reference to that in other places. Now, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So when it comes to dealing with, you know, a Jezebel spirit that's in leadership, you pray. You pray, and you get the direction from God, and God may give you specifics to pray about. And you get the leadership of the Lord, and when the time comes that the Lord says leave, man, you leave. And I don't care if you're the Sunday school director, I don't care if you're the associate pastor, I don't care what you do or don't do in that church. When the time comes God says you pack up and you leave, you leave. Now here's one thing about it. Here's one thing about this church. Nobody has ever left this church and been able to adequately, correctly say that I was trying to manipulate or control their lives or their ministry. Nobody. And I know that. Because the one thing that a Jezebel person will not do is continually demand, get into the Word of God, feast on the Word of God, pray, seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Ask God if what I'm teaching you is right or wrong. Get in there in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because the last thing a Jezebel spirit wants you to do is hear from God. I want you to hear from God. I've told you over and over and over again, you can't live on what I teach. You've got to live on the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. All I do is present information. It's what you do with that information that makes the difference. That's it. But you can't live on me. But now, to guard ourselves against this, because remember I shared in this series that every single Christian, I don't care who you are, sooner or later, a Jezebel spirit is going to test the waters of your life to see if you can be manipulated. That's just how they work. So we're all susceptible to this, but we can guard ourselves against it. Now notice what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. The reverse of this would be true. Do not follow me if I am not following Christ. Now everybody's going to tell you they're following Jesus, okay? Everybody's going to say that. So how do you know the difference? Well, you've got the Word right here. Be followers of me as I am followers of Christ. In other words, you be a follower of Christ, not a man or a personality. And guys, I have seen this so many times. You know, Mr. Big Time has a church, and people flock to that church, but they're flocking to the personality more than they are Christ. And I'm not saying that Mr. Big Time is wrong or missing God at all. I'm not saying that. But there are so many Christians that go after the personality. There's so many Christians that go after the gift, that go after the anointing of the person, operating on the person. There's so many Christians that follow after that stuff. But you're supposed to follow after Christ. And so what you have to do is make a decision that everything that you do is going to be based upon Christ. The church you attend, the camp meetings you go to, you know, whatever it is. Everything has to be based on Christ. It can't be based on me. I've heard people say things like, oh boy, Brother Jim, I really love your teaching. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'd sure love to move there to Dayton and go to your church. It's like, don't do that. Number one, yes, I want more people in here. Number two, no, I don't want people in here who are just here because they like me. What a stinking waste of time. I'd rather have people come in here who don't like me, but want to be touched by God. That doesn't make much sense, but I want the people in here that God wants in here. I don't want some people moving 500 miles just to be here because, wow, I saw your services on the internet. Boy, I sure wish I was there. You know what? Think I'm going to move. Wrong. Wrong. Don't do that. You pray and get the direction of God. If God wants you to move here, then pack it up. Get here. But if God doesn't want you to move here, you stay right where you are. Or you move where God wants you to move. You be a follower of Christ, not of man. Not of man. Now let me show you another thing that goes along with this. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. And remember, we're talking about guarding ourselves against the influence of a Jezebel spirit. Whether that spirit is attacking us directly or trying to influence us directly, or is operating through leadership within the structure of the church. Proverbs chapter 3. Now look here in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Now you notice in verse 6 where it says that God will direct your path. What that means is He'll show you what you need to do, where you need to go, and so on. The plan of life that He has for you. But what it does not say is that He will make you do it and try to force you down that path. A Jezebel spirit will try to force you down the path the Jezebel spirit has laid out before you. Somehow, some way. And so it says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There are too many people, and this is, I mean, I've encountered this as a result of my ministry. There are too many people who trust in me. You know, I got a letter here not too long ago, and I still have to respond to it. Somebody that's seeking after the anointing, and the way that the letter is written, it's almost like they're expecting me to give them an anointing. I can't do that.
I'm not God. I'm not the third person of the Holy Spirit. I can't do this for you. Well, you have to trust in God. Now, one of the things that God has done, He has set in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, helps, government. I mean, He set the ministries in the church. So I can trust Him that anybody operating in those ministries who are trusting Him will then be able to speak into my life according to how He is speaking into their life. But I also know that there are people out there who legitimately may be called as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, into helps or into governments. They literally, generally, specifically, they're called into those ministry areas, but they're not trusting God fully in their ministry. And what that means is, God may well tell me, you don't need to be listening to this person or that person, and you don't need to go to that church. Yes, but God, I like the choir. He said, but you don't need to go there. Yes, God, but I teach, but you don't need to go there. Yes, God, but are you listening to me? You don't need to be there. That's not where I want you. I trust in Him in everything. As I am trusting in Him in everything, then what happens is He is able to direct my path. Now, to kind of paraphrase, amplify this and so forth, He is going to be able to give me a revelation of the path I'm on. Is this a path that's been set before me by a Jezebel spirit, or is this the path that God has set before me? There's a difference here. See, I've touched on this already in this message. I don't want you trusting me with all your heart. I want you trusting God with all your heart. And one of the things, I'll just be honest with you. Everything up to this point has been a lie. Now I'm going to be on. You know what's kind of frustrating for me? And I don't let it get to me, but it's when I know that people will listen to a sermon they need one time and that's it. That's the end of it. And folks who will, they've got questions about things. And, listen to such and such series. You know why it's called a series? It's because God knows it can't all be given in one day, in one sermon. He's got so much He wants delivered on a subject. It can't take place in one day, in one sermon. So He spreads that information out over a period of weeks and a period of services. That's why it's called a series. And so there's a subject matter and a person's got questions about it and so on. It's like, I don't understand. Okay, well, listen to this particular series. Then listen to a sermon from that series and that's it. It's called a series because you're supposed to listen to all of it. Somebody listened to one of the sermons in it and comes back, well, I still don't understand. Well, did you listen to the series? Yeah, I heard that sermon. No. I didn't ask you if you heard the sermon. I asked you, did you listen to the series? Well, I'm not done with it yet. Okay. Go back and finish. And while you're listening, follow along in Scripture. Pray in the Spirit. Take notes as the Lord gives them to you. Do that. And there's a really good chance that your questions are going to be answered by the time you get finished with the series. But you have a lot of folks that don't do those things, and what that does, that just opens the door for more confusion. Anybody here know what a ladder is? Okay, it's that thing, it's got like two long sides, and you lean it up against the side of your house or whatever, and from the bottom up to the top, it's got those little short pieces, about like every so many inches. You know what I'm talking about? All right? How many of you have ever noticed that a ladder has those little short pieces all the way from bottom to top? There's not just one right in the middle. You know why that is? That's because they know for the ladder to work effectively, you have to take it one step at a time. Same thing with a series. I guarantee you, when you're climbing a ladder, there's no way you're going to be on the top rung before you start at the bottom rung. It doesn't work. But we take a teaching series and we misappropriate it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust that God has given a series in order so that when we listen to it in order, we get out of it what God wants. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. How do I lean to my own understanding? Well, this seems like a good church.
Got a good choir, got a bunch of things for the kids, got a big bus ministry. They got this, they got that. Seems like a good church. Bless God, I'll go. Why, he seems like a good preacher. He seems like a nice guy. I watched him on television. I think I'll go to his crusade. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because if you're not, listen, if you trust in him, he's not going to lead you to be under the influence of a Jezebel. It's not going to happen. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this kind of goes along with what I was just sharing about the teaching and so forth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 14, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Here's what's going to happen. If you don't listen to the teachings that you need, and if you don't listen to a series in order, there's a good chance you're going to be subverted. I guarantee you, I have teaching series that if you listen to Sermon 12 before you listen to Sermon 1 through 11, you can come away really confused because you just listened right smack dab in the middle of it. Well, you need to go back, especially that series on prosperity. Or, well, there's several others. But anyway, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A Jezebel spirit wants you to be approved unto it through that person. God says, study to show yourself approved unto me. Now, here's what this means. This entire series, we have been seeing over and over and over again in the Word of God how a Jezebel spirit operates. How a Jezebel spirit influences a person. How a Jezebel spirit works through that person. How all of these things take place. If we study to show ourselves approved just in this series, then what's going to happen is God's going to begin to help protect us. God's going to help build up that spiritual sensitivity on the inside. And I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit, He will let you know what's going on within a church. He will show you if there's spiritual activity. I'm talking about, you know, demonic activity that shouldn't be there. And then right along with that, prayer, specifically praying in the Spirit, fasting, worship, the Word, confessing, meditating, and so forth. All of these things that we know to do to build us up spiritually. And that gets us to the place of being more and more sensitive to the voice of God. Protecting ourselves. There are a lot of people out there who are influenced by the Jezebel spirit, and they have not one time stepped foot in the church where that Jezebel person is pastoring. They're just picking it up through the television or the radio. And the influence is there. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, did you hear that brother so-and-so, what he was preaching? My goodness, that was good. And I'm thinking, that wasn't good. You see, there's a way to protect yourself against this. If we don't do what's necessary to protect ourselves, we're opening the door for this influence. I could continue in this series. I could. But when you think about all the division in the church, all these different denominations, all these different doctrines that are out there, come on, guys. All you have to do is read the Bible and use a little common sense and figure out there's no way this is of God. It doesn't take a whole lot of mental energy to come to that conclusion. So what's going on? Well, one of the things that's going on is that you have a Jezebel spirit. Now, I know that, you know, this could really open up the door to a whole lot of criticism, but the bottom line is one of the biggest areas of strongholds. How can I say this? One of the places where Jezebel spirits operate the most strongly is within the structure of denominations. You say, well, there's a bunch of denominations out there. Yeah, I know. But see, here's the thing. Nearly every denomination refuses to even consider there's anything wrong with their doctrine. Nearly every denomination will tell you they're right and everybody else is maybe only partially right. And some denominations go so far to tell you that if you do not belong to their denomination, you cannot go to heaven, you will go to hell, and there is no hope for you. Now, you need to understand, that is the working of a Jezebel spirit. That's wrong. And Paul tried to put an end to that. You can read in Corinthians, we talked about this. Some of you say you're of Paul, and you say you're of Apollos. Right there,
is where this whole thing of denominational structure was attempted by the devil. Now, here's the thing. We can only guard ourselves and develop our spiritual sensitivity. God will not sovereignly keep us from the influence of a Jezebel spirit. But He has sovereignly given us authority over those spirits. So now I operate by Christ, the name of Jesus. And if I develop my spiritual sensitivity, I can get to the place to where I'm going to know when this influence... Now remember, I shared with you, it always starts out small, quiet, very subtle, and builds over time. I guard myself against this. And this is my responsibility. Nobody can do it for me. And I'm talking to, you know, you, me, all of us. And that prayer that I shared with you over there in Ephesians 15, I mean, one of the things that I would covet, your prayers. You know, Father, help Pastor Jim be sensitive if he starts yielding to a Jezebel spirit. Because remember, those things, they'll go after anybody. They don't care. You know, pray that for me. I need those kinds of prayers. I'm not above this. But one of the things that we're going to have to understand is this. There are a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are going to live their entire lives here on this earth under the influence, maybe just, you know, a little bit of the influence of a Jezebel spirit. Maybe it's coming from the pulpit, whatever. I don't know. But guys, we don't have to give in to this. The Bible says that we have been made more than conquerors. The Bible says that God has given to us victory now in this life. The Bible says that we have been given the authority of Christ. The Bible says that there is a name that is above all names. It's the name of Jesus. And we have been given the right, the authority, and really, God has the expectation that we will use the name of Jesus. We don't have to yield to these things. And when you stand against the Jezebel spirit that's operating through a Jezebel spirit, a person, and you do it in love, okay? Now, this is critical. Do it in love. You're going to be accused of stubbornness and rebellion and all kinds of things. Because that's one of the ways that this Jezebel spirit manipulates. And I guarantee you, that the closer we get to the return of Jesus, there's going to be a greater and greater attack by these Jezebel spirits in the church. You say, well, how do you know that? This whole series started in the book of Revelation. What's that tell you? Those are warnings to the church. We don't have to give in. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And there are a lot of Christians out there that are stuck in churches. They don't know what to do, but they know something's wrong. This series may help them see what's going on and help them understand what to do. But praise God. I say, in Jesus' name, we here, you watching, I say we will not be duped into bowing the knee to a Jezebel spirit, but that we will constantly rise above it. We will recognize it. We will be sensitive to it. We will take a stand against it. We will pray against it. We will pray for ourselves in this ministry, and we will build up the spiritual walls, if you will, and we will not cave in to that influence. That's my declaration in Jesus' name. That's what I say. Praise God. So everybody stand.